We return this morning to Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 22. Acts 24, beginning at verse 22. While you're finding your place, let me just remind you that next Lord's Day, should the Lord tarry, and I pray that he doesn't. But if the Lord should not come back this coming week, then next Lord's Day, our plan is to have one extended service, worship opportunity together with extra music and extra scripture reading and a good old-fashioned Christmas message from the Old Testament, and enjoy the aspect of setting our hearts and minds together for the celebration of the holidays with a sense of due honor for Christ. So join us at 10, not 11, 10, until about 11:30. Seems like no matter how many times we make those adjustments, that inevitably somebody comes in at 11, and then I feel required to preach longer because they just got here and I want them to hear the whole thing. So help out the rest of the flock and come on time, and that way I can be done on time next week. Acts 24, beginning at 22, we pick up in this historical record of gospel advance. Nobody reading what we're about to read now would believe that there's great gospel advance taking place in the world at that time. But there is. You just have to learn to read it right. And likewise, nobody looking at the circumstances, the sea of circumstances in our own day, would believe that these are days of great gospel advance. But they are. You just have to know how to look at it right. The truth is, when indeed that moment comes of God's plan to be over of the opportunity of salvation and offer, you and I and Christ will be out of here. In the meantime, here we are. And so let's enjoy the text and learn from it this morning, beginning at Acts 24, 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. He commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the article-specific faith in Christ. And as he, Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped, Felix hoped, also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Father, we thank you this morning for the continuing study of this record that is so helpful for our understanding of how it was that the gospel got from way over there to way over here and all the way around the world. It is also helpful for us to be mindful of the fact that the way it seems on the surface is often not the way it actually is. And once again this morning, we would bow before you as the one true God of heaven and earth, great and mighty, wise without compare. And Lord, we trust you and love you because you first loved us. And today we desire to be taught of thee in the scriptures for the stability and the encouragement of our souls. And so we pray that you would open the text to our understanding. Help us to make personal and collective applications that matter in light of eternity. And for that, we will praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Many a parent has asked a child, "Why did you do that?" To which the kid says, "I don't know." The truth is, the kid really doesn't know and is not sure of himself nor enough self-aware to assign motivation, especially sinful motivation. The truth is, people, all people, do things most usually out of a mix of emotions and motivations. It quite becomes complicated when you stop to think about it. If I just pressed you when you walked in, "Why are you here today?" Well, some of you would say, "I'm here to worship God." And of course, that'd be great. But some of you, if you're honest, would have to say, "Well, it's what I usually do." Some of you have to say, "Well, my wife was expecting me." Some of you would have to have a number of other reasons or motivations that relate to the idea of worshiping God today. I just simply tell you that people do things most usually out of a mix of motivations. And it does indeed become quite complicated because people do good things for bad reasons. Especially during the holidays, people do good things for bad reasons. And then people do good things for good reasons. And of course, they do bad things for good reasons and bad reasons. I mean, it just gets all complicated. My point is there's a mix of motives and motivations that are associated with most everything that we do. And we're soon going to apply that principle of mixed motivation to Governor Felix regarding the Apostle Paul in this particular text. First, I am intrigued by that phrase that we looked at briefly previously in verse 22, where it says of Felix, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Of course, that way is speaking of the gospel of Christ. That way is the early nomenclature embraced by people in that particular period of time, in reference to what you and I would call biblical Christianity. Now, obviously, the text is not saying that Felix had a perfect knowledge of the way, the truth, and the life, but he did have a more exact or complete knowledge of what he considered to be the Jewish sect called the Way. The question is, how did Felix come to have a more complete understanding of the way? And the answer to that question emerges as you pay attention to both Roman history as it intersects with New Testament biblical history once again at this particular juncture. In verse 24, you and I meet Drusilla. Drusilla is the young wife of Felix. Although she was not even 20 years of age at this particular time, this was already for her her second marriage, and it was the third marriage for Felix. Drusilla was the youngest daughter of a very famous political ruler back in that day. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa, also known as Agrippa the First. Now, Agrippa the First is an intolerant ruler that killed James, the brother of John, and threw Peter into prison, as recorded and studied back in Acts chapter 12. Drusilla grew up in a home that was poised in opposition to the Jewish sect called the Way. Her dad, Agrippa I, like most political leaders in that day, showed a sense of favor towards the official religious representatives of that particular day that were found among, of course, the priests, the chief priests, and the scribes. And as a result of that, Agrippa, who postured himself in favor of the chief priest and scribes in that day, would have postured himself in opposition to the Jewish sect called the Way. Drusilla knew firsthand the details of her father's opposition to that sect. And she also knew the details of her father's death and the significant growth of the Way after her father indeed died. Go back with me to Acts chapter 12 for just a brief moment and look beginning at verse 20 to the account of Herod Agrippa's death soon after Peter had been released from prison by angelic intervention. Herod goes on a little political trip that doesn't end well at all for him. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote Herod, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost, died. But, verse 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. So Drusilla, who is a young daughter growing up in the palace home of Agrippa I, not only knows the great stir in society caused by the Way, but she also knows of what the details were concerning the death of her father. And then she knows that after her dad died, that the Way not only lived on, but exploded. And so part of the reason why Acts 24 and verse 22 speaks of Felix having a more complete or exact knowledge of the Way had to do with Drusilla. And the fact that her dad died and the Way lived on as a matter of biblical and secular history intersecting back in Acts chapter 12. And then there's another angle that I would just reintroduce to your mind as to how the Bible would say to us that Felix had such insight, as it were, an understanding of the Way, because back in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8, we read that Paul, when traveling formerly from Jerusalem or to Jerusalem, had stopped at Caesarea, where they are now, and he had stayed previously in Caesarea with Philip the evangelist. Philip and his dynamic family for the Lord were a part of a vibrant Christian church in Caesarea, too impactful for the governor to miss. By the way, the liberty that was granted to Paul at this particular time undoubtedly allowed him to enjoy some of the fellowship of those local believers. You have indication of that in verse 23, where Felix, after binding Paul, sets him at liberty. He's free to go about, as it were, Herod's dungeon hall. And that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister, to come to him, to minister to him, to interact with him. And so you have, as it were, in those words, confirmation that there were believers that were coming to see Paul and interact with Paul during this particular period of time from the local church there in Caesarea. Nonetheless, Felix had both negative information from Drusilla, his young wife, and some positive insights from the representation of the local church there in Caesarea as it related to the followers of the way. And so that would help us to understand that phrase in verse 22, having Felix having more perfect knowledge of that way. Now back to that thought of mixed motivations. It's hard to assign to Felix in this moment a singular sense of motivation as to why he does what he does. But nonetheless, we must say, first of all, this morning, that Felix was motivated by a mix of motivations when he called for the Apostle Paul to appear before him. And in fact, verse 24 says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the article specific faith in Christ. Felix knew that his wife Drusilla would want to hear from Paul. Felix knew himself to be great opportunity keep himself, as it were, before the Jerusalem council with favor. And at the same time, he knew that the charges against Paul were, of course, bogus. He knew that Paul had presented himself in court as one characterized by scriptural competency and true conviction. He knew himself to be a man of duplicity. He knew himself to be a politician, one driven by expediency. He knew Paul was readily available to him and most willing to speak of the faith in Christ. I keep saying article specific because that's important. The faith is different from a faith. The faith means that this thing of the faith of Christ is prescribed, it's set. It's able to be understood as a whole, as a unit, as a thing. It's not just a faith in God. It is the faith in Christ that connects one forever and eternally with God. Felix knew that Paul was readily available to him and very willing to continue to speak and interact concerning the faith that is in Jesus Christ. And further, he thought something. And that is, he thought that Paul might be a revenue stream. He knew that there were a lot of people around the country that had a shine for this guy named Paul. And he thought that just maybe that they might be willing to launch a GoFundMe page and come up with some monies to be able to get Paul out of prison. And so he is probably saying to Drusilla, you know, I'm thinking about a vacation on the Riviera, and all we need to do is get a little bit of bribery money concerning Paul, and I'll let him go, and we'll take the cash, and we'll go have the greatest vacation that we've ever had together. So he thought that Paul would be a revenue stream as followers of the way might step up and be compelled to pay a healthy ransom. That's what it says in verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. And so he's mixed in his motivations. He wants to please his wife. He wants to help meet his wife's curiosity. He wants to satisfy his own longing soul as it relates to things of God. He wants to hear more about the ins and the outs of the gospel reality. He wants to maybe tap into a new and fresh revenue stream for future days, or maybe to pad his retirement. And so for all of those, and I'm sure other motivations, Felix calls for Paul. And calls for Paul and calls for Paul. Where do you see that? Verse 26 says, wherefore he sent for him the oftener. See it? This is not a one-time thing. This is not a one-time interaction. This is a brief accounting of an elaborate interaction between the governor named Felix and the Apostle Paul again and again and again. If you study this passage and you check out every word, you will see that some of the words line up in what we might call the formal opportunity of education. And you would also see that others of the words line up in what we might call the informal opportunity of education. Or to say it otherwise, Paul talked to Felix about Christ in times of official presentation, sermonic instruction before the governor and his wife. And Paul also was called out of prison to sit down, as it were, over a cup of something, coffee, and talk about, in casual interaction, the truths of Christ. And so Felix heard of Christ and 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 heard of Christ. And he wasn't hearing it from you, and he wasn't hearing from me. He was hearing it from the great, awesome Apostle Paul. Yeah, that guy's getting saved. You know that's happening. You do? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible records in verse 25 this unbelievable reality, where that Felix, in these interactions with Paul, trembles at the truth of Christ. But then what he says, and not once, but again, and again, and again, is, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee again. Time after time after time after time, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, Paul speaks of Christ. And Felix hears him with the ear, but it never becomes the reality of his heart. And he delays and defers and puts off until it's too late. There's a truckload of sermon right there. I'm not just preaching that this morning, but I'm telling you, you could just camp right there and think about how often, when it comes to salvation in the life of a sinner, when it comes to obedience in the life of a saint, that we basically say to God, God, how about later? Or as the commercial for heart medicine on TV now says, how about tomorrow? How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow? The Spirit of God would always say to you, to me, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of obedience. But Paul had this marvelous opportunity again and again and again, both formally and informally, with Felix. Although, as far as we know, it never did him any eternal good. The second thing that I would point to you, out to you in this text, that is so important to just think about a little bit, is the front end of verse 25, where the things that Paul spoke before Felix and Drusilla in these repeated opportunities, all of which fall under the general umbrella of the way of Christ, or the faith in Christ, verse 24, the topics that are represented here, three in number, constitute the aspect of repeated themes of emphasis in the gospel presentation of Paul as he interacts with Felix. In other words, this is really something. We not only know that Paul and Felix talked and talked and talked and talked and then talked again, we not only know that sometimes Paul came prepared to deliver specific scriptures and a specific presentation in which Felix would listen to in the whole, like you're listening to a sermon this morning, but we also know that at times Paul was just called out of the prison wing of Herod's palace in Caesarea in order to just chat, as it were, about Christ with Felix. And so Paul talks to Felix in both formal and informal scenes and settings again and again and again. But we also know, because of verse 25, what he talked about. Well, he obviously talked about Christ. But we might ask the question, how do you talk about Christ? How do you talk about the gospel when you're talking to people that desperately need to be saved? Well, notice the threefold emphasis of Paul's reasoning or logic as indicated in verse 25. And as he, Paul, reasoned of, number one, righteousness, number two, temperance, number three, judgment to come. Three topics here are said to be the emphasis of Paul's gospel presentations to Felix, both formally and informally. First topic, Paul spoke boldly to Felix about God's righteousness and Felix's unrighteousness before God. To simplify the message, Paul said to Felix and said to Felix and said to Felix and said to Felix, God is right and you're not. God is right and you're not. God is right and you're not. He spoke to Felix about God's righteousness. Paul had to be true to the truth of God's perfection and mankind's sin in order to make the gospel of Christ clear. Paul never said to Felix, you need to get saved. Never. Paul never said to Felix, God loves you, you need to get saved. Never. Paul spoke to Felix of the faith specific in Christ by talking about God's perfect righteousness. Again and again and again, Paul reasons with Felix about God's perfect righteousness. You might just think a little bit about your own gospel attempts with families and friends. Does that topic come up in your conversation? Or do all you try to do is to bring people to the moment of the what for without ever bringing, as it were, the logic and the reason as to why loving God back, who loved us first, is so vitally important. Paul spoke to Felix of God's righteousness. Secondly, Paul spoke to Felix boldly about temperance or self-control. That's interesting. Felix lived a life feasting on his many sinful passions without restraint or ability to control them. Now, usually when you enter into a period of celebration, like we're about to go into this season that we call the holidays, usually people grant to themselves a little bit of leeway. You'll hear people that are highly disciplined usually say, well, I shouldn't eat that, but give me another piece. After all, happy holidays. You see, people will justify a little bit of slack, a little bit of liberty. And of course, then they sit around in the living room in the chair saying, oh, I wish I wouldn't have eaten all that. I wish I wouldn't have done all that. But nonetheless, happy holidays. You know, that's... Well, can you imagine having enough money, enough fame, enough power that you could live the holiday life all the time and never have to worry to run out of money? Welcome to the life of Felix. Every day is a big eating day. It's a big party day. Felix lived a life feasting on his many sinful passions without restraint nor any ability to control them. And Paul gave the governor no hope of self-improvement. Do you assist people's sinning by giving them hope of self-improvement? Or do you speak and act to take away their thoughts that it's going to be all right, that they're going to be okay, that they can be safe to say once again tomorrow? Well, the Apostle Paul not only talked about God's righteousness and talked about God's righteousness and talked about God's righteousness, but then he talked about Felix's lack of temperance and self-control. He knew that Felix had lured Drusilla away from her husband while she was still a teenage bride. Felix, like Herod, Antipas before him, the Herod who killed John the Baptizer, knew himself to be bound by the sensual and the perverse. Both the themes of righteousness and temperance speak to the great need in the life of a man for God's deliverance. Have you watched this fall as this sexual allegation thing has exploded in public, and there's all kinds of guys walking around saying, "Oh my, never heard of such a thing. All men are liars in that regard." Erroneous, sensual, sinful thought is not a stranger in the life of any man. When you take the standard of the Lord Jesus, not just to engage with a woman physically, but to think in one's mind is to commit the sin of sensuality. There's not a man except Jesus Christ that has walked this planet that hasn't violated the sanity of God's intention in marriage. But the world likes to act like there's a lot of people out here that never have. Well, the Apostle Paul wouldn't let Felix get away with that thought. The Apostle Paul would take that little crooked finger. I think it was crooked. But he took that little crooked finger and stick it in Felix's nose and say, "You are like Herod Antipas, a man driven by sensuality, a man driven by perversion, and you've let it go. And there's no hope whatsoever for you to get a hold of that. There's no rehab program in Arizona for you to go to that's going to correct your problem, buddy. The problem that you have is a problem of your soul. And the only one that can do soul surgery is the great physician, Jesus Christ." That's the kind of talk Paul did to Felix, as indicated by the little word temperance. But again, I say both the theme of righteousness and temperance speak to the great need in the life of every man for God's deliverance. When it comes to sinners, nobody in a Baptist church can think about us and them. It's all us. Sinners all. There go we. Accept the grace of God. Amen. It's weak, but I'll take it. Thirdly, Paul insisted upon the fact that God would judge all men in the coming day of his appointment. He reasoned with Felix of righteousness. He reasoned with Felix of temperance. He reasoned with Felix, and again, I stress it because it's so important. He didn't talk about these things once. He talked about them again and again and again and again under the general banner of the faith in Christ. This is how Paul presented the gospel. And it is so unlike the way in which today modern evangelicals think the gospel ought to be presented. May I suggest that Paul was right? Spirit-led. And instructeth for us all when he reasoned with Felix of righteousness and temperance and, of course, judgment to come. Listen, every person is going to have to stand before the throne of glory. Answering to Caesar is nothing compared to answering for one's own self before God. Paul declared that the only way to stand tall in the coming day of God's judgment was through personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Paul speaks again and again and again of the gospel of Christ, but always in connection to the righteous wrath of God to be revealed. It's been a while, but I would remind you this morning by just a quick glance at the little summary, if you will, Paul's gospel track in Romans 1, 16 and 17. Just flip there a quick minute. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'd suggest that this is a good summary of Paul's gospel interaction with Felix. Paul would write to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That, my friends, is gospel preaching. And that's what Paul was talking to Felix about, as recorded in Acts chapter 24. He, like many a sinner, looked for a more convenient season, a different day, another day, a better day, a sunny day, a different season in his earthly lifetime to make things right with God. He made the common and destructive judgment, not now. And so instead of repenting and putting his faith in Jesus Christ, in all of those opportunities that he had with Paul, again and again, he trembled, says verse 25, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." But, verse 27 says, after 2 years, he's out of there. And the new guy comes to the fore. Felix made a bad decision, certainly, in the fact that he decided to keep Paul bound. I don't like that. Paul didn't like that. That ain't right. Nonetheless, it was that which would keep Paul there for the next round of gospel preaching and teaching to Festus. Again, I remind you, throughout this section, men rule, but God overrules, causing the truth of Christ to advance according to his eternal purpose. This is why that we invite people to believe the gospel and to worship in the Lord Jesus, because there is none else. And Paul brought opportunity and opportunity and opportunity and opportunity before Felix. And as far as we know, it did him no eternal good. But one thing for sure, when Felix stands before the Lord in the coming day, he will know he had opportunity of the Lord. Sometimes, as the servant of Christ, the only satisfaction you ultimately have is that you've brought once again to people that you know and love an honest opportunity. Let no man here today, let no woman here today think they have not yet opportunity with God. Today can be the day if you just don't let your heart say tomorrow. Father, we thank you for this text. We thank you for the penetration of it in our hearts and minds. And we pray that as we connect it to gospel opportunity and to this moment of worship among the flock, that you would use it greatly as we traverse this season with emphasis upon the incarnation, the close of a year and the opening of another, recognizing your hand to rule and overrule according to the eternal plan. We thank you. We praise you. We're sobered by those truths as well. And pray today that we would be a responsive people to your honor and glory, for we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.